Yeah, we can talk a little bit about your latest record that will be released in 2 days. It's the third in general, and it's called The Cause of Doubt and the Reason to Have Faith. So it will be released on 17th of July. First of all, yeah, my opinion is that you are really one of the most talented songwriters at all nowadays worldwide. Thank you. What is, yeah, what would you say? Would you agree or?
I can't disagree with that. yeah, I think, well, whatever, I'm glad you feel that way. That's as much as I can say about it.
I mean, it's your third record right now, so people had enough time to realize it. Is there resonance so far after some years?
Any particular group of people?
Yeah, especially journalists or critiques or so.
I haven't really felt it personally. Definitely haven't felt it in my bank balance.
But you had some concerts and yeah, you have the audience.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's, you know, if an audience has come to see you, then, you know, I very much doubt that they didn't criticize, you know, or be super critical. So I don't really judge it by who comes to see me. But there's definitely a good response in terms of, you know, I get a lot of good messages or nice messages and encouraging messages about it. But in terms of journalists and stuff, I don't really see it a lot in the critic side.
Yeah, maybe only in special music magazines. So it's not, of course, you're not mainstream. That's true. But it's something you don't want to be for sure.
I don't really know what mainstream is anymore.
I mean, it's something that really brings money and.
Yeah, I'd like to be mainstream then. You know. The mainstream sounds good, because I don't know. I like it's in terms of hip hop and that sort of music. I really like mainstream hip hop. In terms of the other genres, like I'm not really feeling the mainstream over there. But it's hard to define what mainstream is for me personally anymore.
So, is there something you miss about modern music at the moment, and what is it?
I think looseness and chaos in modern music, and that's, I guess, in mainstream music you don't hear a lot of that. It's all very, because it's, you know, the sound has been mastered, you know, in terms of what people were experimenting with in the 80s, like the actual sound has been mastered now, so it sounds really clean and nice. And I can only imagine what if Michael Jackson made his records now, that they'd sound so clean and nice and even better, probably. You know what I mean? They'd be crazy. But it's like, in terms of rock and roll and hip hop, a lot of it sounds very clean and well mixed and just less spontaneous and less guttural, if you know what I mean, less from the gut, and which is good in a way if you want it to sound clean. But then my favorite, I think, yeah, I'm pretty sure my favourite band ever is the Velvet Underground, and other favourite bands of mine are like the Pixies and the Libertines, and they're like, they have a messy, chaotic, reckless sound that I sort of, I've always loved rock and roll, my music sort of comes from the blues, and blues itself is just reckless. I don't know how to describe it. It's raw. It's just like the most raw type of music. So yeah, I think it's just missing that, but it's just because the technology's gotten so good, so you know.
Yeah, interesting, because I thought that you would do more the singer-songwriting stuff, or at least with the first record. Maybe it changed a bit.
Sorry, what?
I thought you would be more the singer-songwriter genre, but I think it changed a lot last year. So the first record maybe was the most kind of singer-songwriting, and now you even make hip-hop sounds, so it changed a lot.
You mean in terms of what I listen to?
No, but your own music.
Yeah, I wouldn't ever not call myself a singer-songwriter. It's all like singer-songwriter stuff. It's just like, why does a singer-songwriter have to sound, stick to a certain sound, you know what I mean? Because I want to just put out just a guitar and voice, another guitar and voice record, you know, just in between other records and stuff. Because I think that's at the core of all my music is that singer-songwriter. And the singer-songwriter stuff to me is the blues, is folk music, which is guitar, voice, and storytelling, being a troubadour. Troubadour is being a singer-songwriter, but the type of tales you can tell and the sort of the depths of the tales have evolved through time. So you know, in order to tell certain in order to get across certain types of moods, it, you know, maybe you need to incorporate something that you can only find in hip-hop, you know what I mean, or something you can only find in rock and roll, or something you can only find in jazz, because every type of music like is a doorway to a different type of approach to how you're feeling or what you want to explain. So yeah, I'd call them all singer-songwriter type of songs.
And with this record, you could do a lot on your own. You could decide more than on the last one. So is this record therefore your favorite?
Yeah, definitely, because the others sort of had to. They haven't. They aren't the records I wanted to put out, you know what I mean? Like, in terms of what songs are on the album, the arrangement, the order of the songs and stuff like that. I had a plan. I had all these albums planned that I wanted to put out, and they all had different themes and different sounds to match the themes, but the ones I put out just sort of mixed them all up, and to me they're less impactful because they're mixed up, so the audience isn't really getting what I intended to put across. But in this one, it's literally how I recorded it, and you know, what I wanted to get across and how I wanted it to sound. And so yeah, out of all of them, it's my favorite. It sort of represents just a clean slate, like just getting rid of my old plans and moving forward from now on, like in the present.
And there's this interesting stylistic device in between the songs, so it sounds like you would search for a special radio station, and in between you have these sound bites of voices and music and all this noise. And it could be seen as one single song, a whole record. So it's connected. I don't know. Could every single song be seen as a single radio station you find? on your journey?
Yeah, that's pretty much the idea of it. Because the whole album, like, because of what I was sort of going through mentally at the time, the whole album was supposed to sort of represent like losing your mind and finding it again. And in terms of sonically speaking, sound wise, the going through the radio stations sort of represents just looking for something, but finding, you know, and on the way finding different styles and different testimonies from different areas of musical inspiration, sort of thing. Hang on, I'm just going to close the window because there's some street noises bleeding through.
Yeah, but normally you just look for another station if you are not happy with the old one. So you want to change, you want to go further, you want to have something new. And it's a bit hectic as well, hectical, you know, in a hurry. So, okay, maybe there's something even better I go on looking for. So
yeah,
it's a like bit a stressed.
Yeah, it's like a constant search. It's like constantly searching for that thing that could be better. In terms of the stuff happening on the radio, like the talking, it's like because of the stuff happening in the world at the moment, and to be honest, the stuff, because I wrote this, but you know, before 2020, obviously, but it's obviously like, it makes a lot of sense for 2020 because you could see all of this coming, you know what I mean? And it's like just trying to block it off by just finding some music to listen to try and ignore it.
Since when do you have this title for the record, The Cause of Doubt and a Reason to Have Faith? Does it come in the end when you finished everything, or is it in the beginning and then you write your songs?
No, that's I just thought it appropriate to name it after the song, the first song, because that was just the name of the first song, and that was pretty much, it sums up the theme of the whole album, and the actual song, you know, Cause of Doubt, Reason to Have Faith. Yeah, it's like literally what the album's about. So I just named it after that song, and it's essentially the whole album. Because I think human beings, despite us being extremely advanced technologically, and we've come a long way, we've, you know, as Nietzsche said, like, we've sort of grown out of God, and God has died, and but we haven't replaced it with anything useful. We've only replaced it with sort of new age religions that are sort of individualistic, and therefore self-destructive. You know, like ideologies. We have ideologies now instead of religions, and people stand on their ideologies, but their ideologies are just lines in the sand, you know what I mean? And you can go at war with anyone with your ideologies.
And that can be really dangerous.
Exactly. And we're sort of, I feel like we're spiritually bankrupt, or we're spiritually bereft, or there's no unifying spiritual belief or faith. And to me, faith isn't necessarily like got anything to do with religion. It's faith that a better tomorrow will come from today, you know. And that's what faith is, you know. When you pray, you're just praying that something will be better, like, you know what I mean? So
it's to be optimistic.
Yeah, exactly. And we're sort of drowning, like, I think we're sort of drowning in sort of self-doubt, because we live in, our generation is sort of, has been spoiled in a way, like in terms of, we've not really had, in the Western world anyway, we've not really had any faced any true dilemma, like until now, you know, until the pandemic. And because of that, any, which I kind of think is a good thing, like, so if we live in an era that no one's faced any true dilemma, so even the slightest dilemma is like catastrophic, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because no one can really deal with it.
So there's no relation to something really, really bad.
Yeah, exactly. And if you're also spiritually bankrupt, or yeah, then there's nothing moving you forward. There's nothing to have faith in, you know. When I think, you know, all we have to do is look around, and you know, there's plenty to have faith in. Like, human beings are amazing creatures, and the album's like sort of about growing up, which is what we're doing. We're human beings have grown up to the point where, you know, we had, you know, when you're a child, you might have an imaginary friend that helps you get through some stuff, which was God, you know what I mean? And then you grow out of the imaginary friend, and then you live in the real world, and you have to deal with stuff. That's sort of what's happening. So we've grown out of God, and we can't just use God as an excuse anymore for certain things. And we have to answer for, we have to accept past behaviors, but not get caught up in them, which is what people are doing at the moment, which is one of the dangers of ideologies, is reading the past wrong. And any monk will tell you not to get caught up in the past, you know what I mean? To live in the present. So, you know, it's about growing up and having faith.
Would you say that those both things depend on each other, or are maybe even the same thing? So the cause of doubt and the reason to have faith. It's like this glass which is half full or half empty.
Yeah, it's I can never remember his name, but as I was reading, you know, Hermetic teachings, about the teaching of polarism, where, and this is like something that we all know, we see it as a cliche, quote unquote, but it's a cliche because it's true, and it's been constantly true throughout our history. And for thousands upon thousands of years, it's true. So it just gets, it keeps on getting repeated, and it's an old wives' tale. But the teaching of polarism is to, if any sort of situation can look bad, then all you have to do is look at it through, use your will to view it through positive light, and then you can flip it round to its polar opposite, which is positive. And that's, you know, think positive, you know, which is, and then you'll hear loads of, I don't know, motivators or whatever tell you to think positive, because if you put good energy out, then good things will happen. It's the same, it's just, yeah, we're going through growing pains, but, I mean, if you look at the positive side of it, it's pretty expected, and it's pretty normal, and it's definitely expected if you keep on arranging your society in a certain way where those negative things will keep on happening. So it becomes highly predictable from one side, and then it becomes highly preventable when you sort of acknowledge those things.